thank the Lord this morning for everyone that's here. Appreciate our time of fellowship that we had yesterday, being able to meet together and visit and have fellowship together. It was a wonderful time. I'm always amazed how the Lord can work with a message and put it with the Sunday school lesson, and He's done it again. So I appreciate how the Lord does that. I want to start in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse. And there's just a phrase in this 13th verse that I want to deal somewhat with today. It says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We want to talk about deceived, being deceived. The deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin promises many things. It promises a good time, and it promises lots of friends, and it promises that you're going to have this experience and that experience, and you're going to finally find out this and find out that, and it promises many, many things. But it's deceitful. Because what sin doesn't tell us, and what we don't understand about sin, is that there's consequences and payment to be made at the end of the sin. Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go and have this good time somewhere, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to indulge in this and that. There have been those that have said, you know, I'm going to have just a little drink. And today, they are alcoholics. The deceitfulness of sin. I was just trying to have a little fun. I was just having fun. It wasn't anything serious. I wasn't planning on doing it every day. I was just going to have a little fun. There have been those that have taken drugs. Try this, try that. Oh no, I don't want you. Finally, they give in and they try it. I know of several people that tried it one time and have been affected forever. And I'm not talking about just that they went on to be addicted. I'm talking about that they had such a bad, horrible experience on it for whatever reason that their mind has never been the same. Just from the first time, the very first time. See, the deceitfulness of sin is, I can try it this once and it won't matter. And, you know, if I do it just once in a while, it won't matter. That's deceitfulness. That's the deceitfulness of it all. And we pay the consequences. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Sin deceives. Promises great things, but gives you no rewards. Gives you no rewards. It all ends up in a bad place sooner or later. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, has a list of things. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners, none of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God." People believe that they can do these things and somehow get by. The deceitfulness of sin. We can just live together. We don't have to be married. There's nothing wrong with that. Marriage is just a piece of paper. Marriage is just this or that. It's all right. Well, I have to sow my wild oats before I get married. I have to see what's out there. The deceitfulness of sin. And do you know that there are parents that go along with these things? There are parents that have very strict rules for their daughters, but their sons, well, their sons. Sad, isn't it? Because then what kind of a husband is he going to make? What kind of a husband will he make for some daughter that somebody was strict with and didn't go out and do all those things? What kind of a partner will he make for her if he's gone out and experienced all of these sinful things? The deceitfulness of sin. All of these things. The most important thing this morning is for us to not be deceived about where we stand in this life. Don't be deceived about where you stand. If you're reveling out there, partying, drinking, reveling, carrying on, don't be deceived and think that everything's okay. Don't do that. If you're indulging in all these different things, don't think that you're okay. Don't think it's okay. We want you to know the truth this morning. We don't want to deceive anyone. There are many out there that are deceivers. Many out there preaching Christ's name that are deceivers. They tell people, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about this. You know, don't even, you know, all of us, you know, go and party a little. I heard that at a funeral. Brother Parrish and I were the only ones there at that funeral. I don't remember who it was for, even. And that minister got up and started saying how this person liked to party. And all of us like to do that. You know how it is. We go out and party on the weekend and we come to church on Sunday and get it straight. That was the minister. Deceiving. And do you know that there were all those people up in there, all up underneath that, and they were laughing and raising their hands and carrying on when he said that? They're deceived.
Yes, that's so.
To think that all of that won't come and cause them problems.
Yeah.
Keep them out of heaven. They're deceived. And there are deceivers out there. And there are so many that say, well, yes, this is wrong and everything, but. Mm-hmm. No, there's no buts. Mm-hmm. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It'll always be wrong. It'll be wrong when you're young. It'll be wrong when you're old.
That's right. Amen.
It'll be wrong all the way in between. There's a right way and a wrong way to live. There is a sinless way and there is a place where people live where they are sinning. And it brings destruction. It brings them unhappiness. They have many trials and tests and things that happen to them. Things that are brought on by the sin that they're indulging in. But they think that getting saved is bondage. They're involved in all these different things, can't get free. Listen, I know that they go home sometimes and say, never going to do that again. I know they go home and they are ashamed of what happened and what they indulged in. I know that. We know that because God is faithful. We know they have their moments of, why am I doing this? Why am I keep doing this? I keep telling myself I'm not going to do this again, but I keep doing it again. I get caught up into something, and maybe I've gotten caught up with the wrong person, and I know I need to break it off, and I know I shouldn't be doing, and I shouldn't be with them, and I shouldn't be doing the things I'm doing, and I know all these things, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to see them again. I'm not going to do that. And they find themselves doing it again. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Sin is deceitful. Because what happens is that you have no power. In sin, there's no power. People feel like, I have power in sin. I can do what I want. But there's many things they do they don't want to do. There's many things they'd like to stop doing. There's many things that they wish they hadn't started doing. But they can't stop it now. That's the deceitfulness, see, of sin. God is not that way. God is so plain. God just tells you right up front what His laws are. Here's the Ten Commandments. These are the principles that you're going to be living under. And here's all the little things that are lined up under each of those principles. I teach you through the Word all these other little intricate places that go underneath each of these principles. He's very plain. He doesn't promise us things that He can't deliver on. We don't end up in a place where we say, oh, God lied to us. I don't know that anybody has ever been able to say, God lied to us. Most of the time we say, oh, God told us that's what's going to happen if we didn't stop. And we didn't stop and it happened. That's usually our testimony about God. He doesn't lie to us. But the enemy, how many lies has he told you even just this week? Just this week, how many lies did he tell you? Because, you know, he's trying to lie to us and talk to us all the time. How many times was he being deceitful with you just this week? I make up my mind that I'm going to do something that Lord is dealing with me on and everything. And then he starts, what does he start doing? Well, you know, you already have a commitment and you have this and you have that. And you need to do this. And you know, you've got to have your rest. You've got to have this. You've got to have lies, all lies, just to get you to not follow through with what the Lord wants you to do. All of these things aren't going to make it to heaven. You can't cheat on your taxes. You can't cheat on your welfare. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You can't cheat on anything. You can't cheat on what you pay here, what you pay there. You can't cheat. You can't lie. You can't tell those little white lies. You can't do that. It is better not to say anything than to tell a white lie. It's better not to say anything. And if they say, well, you haven't answered me, so I don't know what to say. Just tell them, I don't know what to say. Because if I tell you the truth right now, it's going to start something. You know, I don't have to say that part. But I know in my heart, if I tell you the truth right now, it's going to start something. So I don't know what to say that will make this better right here. I don't know what to say. Do you know it's all right to be in an awkward situation and it's all right to leave somebody else feeling awkward? It's all right to do that. Let's not deceive ourselves and say, well, you know, I told him this because, you know, I was trying to smooth it over and I was trying to do this and I was trying to do that. No, you weren't. You were trying to keep from being the one that everybody looked at and said, what? You were trying to be the one that doesn't say the hurtful thing. You know what I'm talking about. Because that's what everybody's going to say. Oh, they were so hurtful. They didn't have to say that. You know, they could have just glossed it over. They didn't have to say that. You're trying to save yourself. That's deceitful. Deceitfulness. We can't live with deceit in our lives. Sin is deceitful on every level. And in every way, promises great things, delivers on nothing. 2 Timothy 3:13. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now that we know. This is what we know. This is what God is point blank telling us. He doesn't deceive us. He just tells us. Listen, there's evil men and seducers out there. And they're getting worse. And you're going to have to be more vigilant than you've ever been to not be caught up with them. Seducers that draw you in or draw you out. You ever been in a place where you're in conversation, or you're at a family gathering, or wherever you might be, and pretty soon you find yourself embroiled in something. And you go, how did I get here? Because that evil seducer just seduced you out of your peaceful place. He just seduced you into the conversation because he had something in mind. You see what I mean? Oh, the deceiver likes to say, well, you need to, you know, they're all talking this, that, that. You need to stand for truth here. You need to say something. And you say your little part and you think that's all it's going to be. Just your little part. And then the two sides turn on you. Now they're together. You see what I mean? They're together now. They got a common enemy now, and you're it. They just drew you out into the conversation. You said your little thing, and now where are you at? Seducer. Oh, the devil likes to seduce us into conversations we have no business being in. He likes to seduce us into confidences that we have no business listening to. Do you hear me? Confidences. I have this. I have something I have to tell you. But you can't tell anybody else. It's a secret. Why are you telling me then if it's a secret? Why are you telling me? The best thing to do when somebody does that to you is to say, you know what? It's a secret, so don't tell me. My husband used to tell me, don't tell me something you don't want me to repeat. He says, because I can't remember. And he couldn't. And I learned that I couldn't say certain things. Because he would repeat them and I would be, I thought I told you. You couldn't say anything about that. Because he could not remember. So he just told me, he says, don't tell me. If I have to keep it quiet, don't tell me. And that's how we need to look at it too. If I have to keep it quiet, don't tell me. Because what can happen is that you're going to find yourself with knowledge and a conversation is going to come up and you're going to have knowledge of something. And you're going to have correct knowledge of something. And you're going to be hearing false knowledge of something. And you are going to be tempted to stand for the right and tell how it really happened. But you will be divulging a secret when you do that. You see, it's deceit. There are seducers out there. The enemy is always trying to seduce the saints of God into an awkward place. Trying to seduce you into an uncovered, unprotected place. Trying to seduce you into thinking that I can handle this. I can handle this. You know, there's some secrets better enough left unknown. It's just better. It's just better. People want to tell me something about happened years ago. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait. Wait, it doesn't have anything to do with today. Let's just deal with today. But people want to go back and grab something way back here and pull it all forward, you know. And we have to deal with the here and now. Do you know that the things that are in the past we have no control over anymore? They're gone. Can't change it. Just the way it is. You can try to fix it. You can try to apologize. You can try to do all those things. But the truth of the matter is, it's done and it's finished. But today, I can be careful today. I can be careful not to be drawn out and embroiled in something that I have no business getting into. That I can just walk away from. You know, those family gatherings. When they start, listen, we're the saints of God. We believe we have the truth. But those family reunions and things, and they want to talk religion, you better stay out. You better stay out. You have the truth. But in a public setting, with every kind of spirit there, and every kind of sinner there, it is not a conducive place for you. If they really want truth, you don't have to do it in a crowd like that. If they really want truth, they'll come to you privately. Don't get embroiled in political arguments. No. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? The country is divided up. Half is here, half is there. So you have a 50-50 chance that what you're about to say is going to offend somebody. You have a 50-50 chance that what they're about to say is going to offend others that are around you. Now, did Jesus get involved in the politics of the day? Did he talk about freeing them from Romans' rule? Did he talk about, no, when people came to him, like the soldiers that came to him and said, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, here we're underneath the Roman government, and you know, what are we supposed to do? And he told them, he said, be content with your wages. In other words, don't be uprising against the government. That's what it meant. Be content with your wages. And don't be doing things wrong to people just because you have power. That's what he told them. He didn't tell them, oh, you have to quit your job. You can't do this, you can't do that. And he didn't get embroiled in all of those civil and social issues because they're full of deceit. Listen, we don't know the truth about anything. Do you know we, the people, do not know the truth about anything that is going on in our government? We know what people say. But if you have a family of just 4 or 5 people, you know how things can get twisted up just in a family. So now you have these hundreds and hundreds of people in government, and everything's the truth. No, it's not. It's all twisted up. Just like it happens in your own family. That's why we're not of this world. We're not of these things. We're supposed to be in a plane that is far above where they're all living and what all is happening. We're above that. We're strangers and pilgrims here. We're just passing through. You wouldn't pass through another country and get all involved in their politics, would you? Get all involved in their politics and decide who's right and wrong, and you haven't even lived there. You don't even know what's going on there. You don't know the truth of there. Guess what? We don't live in the world. And we don't know the truth out there of what all the devil's doing. And the sin is out there, and all the people are deceived. They're seducers, and evil men are out there seducing and drawing to their cause, you know, for their secret motivations. Trying to draw us in. And if there's one thing we should know, they don't care about us. They care about your money, and they care about your vote. And we need to know that. That's the truth. A lot of men have good ideas. There's good ideas. Absolutely, there's good ideas. But they get corrupted along the way. They don't ever stay pure. They get corrupted with this or that or the other all along the way. I have to make deals in order to get this good idea I have. I have to make a deal over here that's not such a good thing for people, but I think this is good for them over here, so I'll make this deal to get that through. It's all deceit. It's all lying deceit. That's what this world is full of, because it's full of sin. And sin is deceitful. Sin is never going to be truthful. It's never going to be, you're never going to be rightly represented by sin. Sinful things. All right, 1 John 3, starting at the 2nd verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the sons of God. These are the ones that are saved. These are the people that have denied their flesh, given up the world, gotten saved, are living for the Lord, living in righteousness. Whosoever, this is what it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The law. Who gave us the law? Do you know the laws in every country are a little bit different? They're a little bit different in every country. But do you know there is a generalized law that runs through practically the whole world? And it's God's laws. It's His laws about what should be done. There's no country that I know of that says your common citizen can just murder each other. Mm-mm. There are, they all have based their laws on God's laws. So why not go to the source? Why trust in the government to interpret it for you? Go to the source and see what God's laws require. Because God's laws go further than just the physical act. It goes to the way you think about it. It goes to the way you represent it. It goes down into the deep recesses. It actually changes the inner man so that he is able to perform the law the way it was intended. Not just forced to. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him is no sin. He didn't sin while He was here. In Jesus there is no sin.
That's so.
In God there's no sin.
That's so.
That all comes from the devil.
Yes.
In the sixth verse, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Oh, listen. Little children. Seventh verse. Little children. I'm going to tell you some truth here now. Little children, it says in verse 7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. They're known. And the children of the devil. This is how you tell them apart. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Listen, these are pretty plain, aren't they?
Yes.
Plain scriptures. Easily to be understood. If you read this in a common everyday book, everybody would come to the same conclusion. If you read it in a book. But it's written in the Bible. And because men do not live righteous lives, but they want to claim God as their head, they have to do something with these scriptures. So they debate them. Well, it really means this, or it really means that. No, it means exactly what it says. It means what it says. We read a list of all the different kinds of sins that there are. When we willingly do those things, we are sinning. That is the devil's work. When we willingly do it. Sin involves your will. Sin involves your will. We're not talking about an emotion that rises up and I say something that in the heat of the moment I shouldn't have said. That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as sin. But see, the world wants to classify those kind of things as sin. So if I can classify that as sin, then it gives me leeway to do all these other things too. Now, isn't that strange? It says right here, you can't do these things. But if I speak an unkind word, I say a cuss word, I say something like this, I have a thought, well, that's sin. And now, I might as well do all these others. No, dear ones, no. There is a sin. There is a sin that is unto death. A sin that is unto death is one that will separate you from God. It is sin. And then it goes on to say there's a sin that is not unto death. They're using the same word there. But it's not. That isn't exactly what it means there. There are people that look at it, all those little things, as sin. But they do not separate you from God because they are not blatantly against His laws. You didn't willingly do it. You didn't willingly walk into it, premeditated, and did it. You had an emotion. You reacted to an emotion. And we apologize for those things. We still ask the Lord to forgive us, but we apologize for those things. But that is not the same as living in sin and trying to claim God's name. It's not the same. I know one man that told me that he got saved in a church that teaches the doctrine that sin you must every day, you can't help it, you know, thought, word, and deed, you're sinning every day. And he asked, he was a strong drinker, and he asked, okay, so now what do I need to give up? What do I need to do? I just want some instruction here. I want to know what to do. They told him, you don't have to do anything. Because now Jesus covers and he covers all that sin. You're not responsible for that anymore. That isn't what Jesus came to do, to cover sin. He came to destroy it. He came to destroy it in your life, to break it apart, to crush it, to make it to where it doesn't have dominion over you anymore. He came to destroy it and set men free. So that man, he said, what? And he said, yeah, you don't have to do anything. Now, you know, it's all covered. It's under the blood. You don't have to worry about it. You know, if you should try to live a good life. But if you sin, don't worry about it. You're covered. He went right down to the corner bar and sat on a bar stool and had a drink. Why not? I mean, he was craving it, obviously. He had been having strong drink for a long time. He was craving it. Well, I can give in to my craving. It doesn't matter because it's covered now. Well, you know, he wasn't saved any time at all. For he was just back out there doing everything, not even going to church, nothing, just back out there again. See, there are deceiving teachings out there in the world. One of the worst deceiving teachings that we have among people of God, among those that are Christian, among those that claim to be Christian, is that you can sin while you're in Christ. It's deceitful. It's not the truth. The truth is you can't. It will separate you from God. Just like it separated you before you got saved, it'll separate you after you get saved. You are not eternally secure just because you got saved. They teach that not only are you eternally secure, but you can't ever fall back. You can't ever go back out. There's no such thing as backsliding. And if somebody backslides and goes out there and does all horrible things or whatever, you know what they say? They have to have a reason for that, right? Because of what they're teaching, they have to have another reason. And their reason is deceitful. They just never got it to begin with. These are the deceitful things that are being taught in our presence. These are things that people are living under. These are things that people are laboring under. These kinds of teachings. These deceitful teachings. Don't be deceived. It says, up in the, it says, little children in the seventh verse, little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let man deceive you. And then he goes on to say, doeth righteous, you're righteous. Commit a sin, you're of the devil. The purpose of the Son of God was to destroy the works of the devil. If you're born of God, you don't commit sin. Very simple, right? God is very straightforward. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't try to make it hard to be understood. He tries to make it to be very understood. Revelations was meant to not be understood. There was a lot of things. It was all covered in language and different things to where it would not be understood exactly for a time, a season, until he revealed whatever it was he wanted to reveal. It's written that way. But not this. Not this. And those same people that say, oh, this isn't what this means. It means so-and-so. It means this. It means that. They will take a hold of Revelations and they will tell you there's going to be those real seven-headed beasts are going to be right here on the earth. In other words, this they throw out. But in Revelation, they take every beast that's out there and they're going to be really living here. They're going to have the seven heads. They're going to have all these things. Literal. But this they throw out. This is too literal for them. Deceiving. Dear ones, we can't let the world deceive us. They're going to get worse. They're getting worse. Now they're using science and trying to deceive you. And they're using all manner of things and trying to deceive you. But God speaks very plainly in His Word. He speaks plainly in His Word. I have people all the time tell me, well, not all the books are in the Bible. And I say, yes, they are. Well, no, there's the book of this and there's the book of that. And I've heard two different names mentioned. The book of Enoch and the Maccabees, something like that. And I think, and I tell them all the time, I said, God is a powerful God. He is a God that does and knows everything. And if he wanted those to be in the Bible, they'd be there. Well, you know, as the Catholic Church decided what was going to be the canon, what was going to be the books that were going to be in the Bible and all those things. And I said, and you think that he can't control men? He can't control men? He controlled men to write down everything that's in the Bible. He inspired them to write it down. And he can't control them, which books they put in there that represent him and his word? Of course he can. Of course he can. But see, it's just some more of that deceiving, that seduction of men trying. And what is the purpose? What is the purpose of them telling you that the books are missing? What's the purpose? Because I think if you read those books, you're not going to find that anything changes. Nothing contradicts the Bible. It's just added stories, added whatever. But nothing contradicts. But what are they trying to get at? What are they trying to get you to have start having a question about? The Word. Because if God left that out, what else has He left out? See, it's deceitful. It's all deceitful. And we are not the children of deceit. We know and understand what God has for us, what he expects of us. Even the nature and the way that God put together nature, even nature teaches us so many things. He doesn't lie in nature. Things go right on working like they always worked when he put them into motion at the beginning. They keep right on working that way. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin tells you, hide this. You can get away with it. You know, you'll only do it once. Nobody will ever know. That's deceitful. Look, there's some fast money. Listen, you come with us, and we're going to go do this and that, and there's some fast money, and we'll divide it up, And nobody ever has to know. I was always scared for my boys because I always felt like I didn't feel like that they would go and rob anybody. I didn't think they would ever do that. But I was always afraid that they would just be in a car one night when somebody else had plans and they say, hey, we're going to go in and get something or whatever. Why don't you drive for a while? And they crawl into the driver's seat and they come running out and say, go, go, go. Right? I was scared to death of those kind of things. I told my, whenever those kind of things would come to my mind, I would tell my children, you be careful. Anybody goes in, this, that, no, they want you to drive. No, you just get out and stand outside. You wait and see. Don't be getting in the car yet. See what's going on. Deceitful. See, there's deceitful things out there. And they think they're going to get away with it. All criminals think they're going to get away with it. If they thought they were going to have to pay, they wouldn't do it. They think they're going to get away with it. And because they get away with a little here, and a little there, and a little over there, they get bolder and bolder, and before you know it, they're caught. And then there's, like some of us have been, where we did our little stealing and we got saved. And what did the Lord do? He brought back to your mind that little stealing thing you did. That little thing that you did it one time and you felt bad about it and you didn't ever do it again. But now you're saved. And he brought it back. What? I have to go apologize for water balloons. You know? You know what I'm saying? And so you do. You go and apologize. You don't get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. God knows everything. And whatever you do, you're going to reap it. If you sow to the good, if you're doing good things, you're going to reap good things. And that's what we do. That's what the saints of God do. We do good things and we reap good things. Do we have trials and tests? Sure. Do we have setbacks and reverses? Sure. But we reap good things. But those that are out there in the world, have you noticed how their reaping is? Have you noticed how sad and disjointed and unhappy their lives are? Have you seen that they reap all day and all night? Have you seen that they never seem to be able to catch a break? They never seem to be able to get ahead or anything because they just keep listening to the lies, deceived, just keep thinking, you know. And some of us have reaped some things even after we were saved, haven't we? Because some reaping doesn't go away. There are some reaping that does not go away. It's there in your life forever. You made choices out there and now it's in your life forever. And there's no way to get away from it. Why do you think the enemy works so hard to get you to do all these things that will have lasting repercussions so that he can have a place to buffet you for the rest of your life? To have a place where he can poke you for the rest of your life. That's what he's after. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications, companions. You spend a lot of time with some evil people, you will be caught up. You ever found yourself caught up? Found yourself that, you know, it's going along and and you're talking about different things, and you're laughing and everything, and the things they're saying are funny, and then all of a sudden they tell the off-color thing and you laugh? Before you even know, it's like a setup. The devil sets you up, gets you all relaxed and kind of loose in your talk and everything, and then sets you up to where you laugh or chuckle at something that is not good. Listen, deceivers. The devil is out there. He's deceitful. He's deceitful. You can go still see them. You can still hang around with them. It's all right. How are you going to win them to God? If you don't spend any time with them, how are you going to win them to God? Well, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be there that are really going to... But they, my friend, they don't do bad things. So, I'll be with my friend and maybe I can keep them out of some trouble. Lies. Deceit. Listen, people get caught up in these kind of scenarios all the time. Good people get caught up. They get caught. God is very plain. The devil is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. There are deceitful and evil men out there seducing you all the time. And who do they obey? They obey their father, the devil. He whispers in their ear and they do what he says. Just like when God whispers in our ear, we do what God says. When he whispers in their ear, they do what he says. Our problem is that the devil whispers in our ear too, and we have to keep beating him down. We have to keep getting rid of him. We have to keep telling him no. He's still trying to whisper though, isn't he? He doesn't leave us alone. Well, that happens to sinners too, because God doesn't leave them alone either. And he's whispering in their ear. And they are most miserable because they're enjoying this, they're doing this, until something bad happens. Then they wish they hadn't been there. But up until that point, they were having a good time. And there's that little voice in the back of their head, you better leave. You better get out of here. This is getting out of hand here. You better move. You better this. And they don't do it. It's God trying to be merciful to them. They don't do it, and they're caught up and swept up in the whole thing. God is truthful, but the devil is a liar. God tells him the truth out there when he says, don't do this. You will regret this if you do this. He tells him the truth. The devil says, do it one time. Do it one time. Nobody will know. Nobody has to know. He's a liar. James 1:22-25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now we're not even talking about outside influences. We're not talking about the devil's influence. We are not talking about the influence of evil people. We are not talking about evil companions. We are talking about your own self. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I heard the word. I read the word. But I think it means this, or I have to believe that it means so-and-so. I don't think it's quite like that. I think that's what they start doing with it. Deceiving them own, their own selves. They know many things, but they don't think it'll matter. It won't matter if I go ahead and do this. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I look in the mirror and I see this handsome, powerful figure. And when I walk out into the streets, other people see something different. See, I view myself a certain way. It's hard to get rid of the view of yourself. Do you know that? How you see yourself, it's hard to get rid of. Because you've been patting yourself on the back for a lot of years. You've been telling yourself a lot of years, I'm a good person. I don't do anything intentional. Well, sometimes. But I'm a good person. Oh, I'd help you. I'd give the shirt off my back. I'd be over there helping you move. I'd be doing this. I'd be doing... What? You want money? What? I view myself a certain way. I look in the glass and I view myself a certain way. The Word is the looking glass. And we read the Word. If our actions and our minds and our hearts match up with what we're reading, thank God. But if it doesn't, don't walk away and act like you didn't read it. Don't walk away and act like it doesn't matter. Don't walk away and say, well, I'll have to do some praying about that. I'll have to do some thinking about that. No, did you just read what you read or not? You can't get away with that in school. You read something in the textbook, and then you answer the question on the test. The teacher says that isn't the right answer. Well, yeah, you know, I had to really think about it, and I thought of it this way and thought of it that way, and so that's why my answer is so-and-so. And they said, no, this is what the book said, and this is the answer. This Bible is our book. This is what the book says, and it can't be changed. It can't be twisted. It can't be moved around and left alone and packed over here in a corner and it not have an effect on you. It's going to have an effect. Don't deceive your own self. You've got enough problems with the devil trying to deceive you. You've got enough problems with evil men trying to deceive you. And now you're going to join in? You're going to join in and deceive your own self. I clearly know what is required of me to be a Christian, but I just... Many people say, a little later on, Lord, you know I'm not strong enough now to do it, a little later on. Really, you're going to tell the Lord that? Maybe you don't have later on. Maybe, like the rich man, your soul is going to be required tonight. And you clearly heard what he said. You clearly knew what to do. Listen, we have a whole cloud of witnesses how to live this life. And we can't be disregarding them and their witness and what they lived and how they did it and think that we're going to get by better. We can do less and be better. No, you can't. You're deceiving your own self. You're forgetting what you really look like. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you know what this perfect law of liberty, do you know what this word liberty means in the Greek dictionary? It means living as we should, not as we please. Not what pleases us, but as we should. Liberty. A liberty to be able to say no to yourself and yes to God. A liberty to say no to the enemy and yes to God. A liberty to be free of all those things that held me in bondage out in sin. I have liberty to be free of those things. This is the perfect law of liberty. To be liberated from all the evil works of the enemy of our soul. To live how we should, not as we please. Deception. It's a horrible thing. Nobody likes to be deceived, right? When you find out somebody has deceived you, it's quite frustrating, isn't it? It can even make you feel angry that they would deceive you like that. That they would just look in your face and deceive you. Well, you're looking into the face of God. You think you can deceive him? See, he won't get mad that you deceived him because you can't deceive him. He knows the truth about you when you don't want to admit it. He knows the truth about you when you haven't even seen it yet. He knows you altogether. He knows everything about you. You can't deceive him. He knows you. But he's going to work with you. He's going to love you. He's going to get you to do it his way. He's going to get you to do it the right way. He's going to get you as far away from sin as possible and as close to heaven as you can possibly get. So when you go out of this life, that's where you'll end up. That's what he's after. He's not after just to prove something. He's after to take you to heaven to be with him. He wants you to live with him forever. He loves you that much. So, don't let others deceive you. Don't let sin deceive you. Don't let the devil deceive you. And don't deceive yourself. Because then you're just in league with them. You've just joined them. Don't deceive yourself. You know honestly in your heart what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You know already. You may not want to do it, but you know already. Don't pass it off on, well, so-and-so said, or I was raised, or don't pass it off like that. Don't do that. You know what God wants you to do. Let him listen to him. Let him talk to you. Let him tell you what he wants you to do. And he will do it. But he won't do it if you have a push off of the word and a push off of everything you've heard or been taught. He can't work over all that. He can't work over all that deceitfulness. You finally have to say, I have been deceived. That's what we do when we come to the altar, right? We're saying, sin deceived me. I'm ready to give it up. I want God in my life now. Because sin has so much guilt and pain and suffering. I'm done with sin. So now if you're really done with sin, come on all the way. Go, come all the way and don't let anything deceive you. Amen.